Carlo Ponti was born into film royalty, but he's chosen a different art form than his parents. From an early age, he pursued a passion for music, and he's established himself as an internationally acclaimed orchestra conductor with prestigious appointments in Russia, Italy, Hungary, and the United States. He's just released Modest Mussorgsky, his debut CD, recorded with the Russian National Orchestra. I'm very pleased to welcome Maestro Carlo Ponti to the show today. Hello.
Thank you so much, Mr. Lopez. It's a pleasure to be here.
You have worked with a number of significant orchestras over the last decade. Why did you decide that you wanted your first CD to be with the Russian National Orchestra, and why the music of Mussorgsky of all composers? Not that there's anything wrong with the music of Mussorgsky.
That's a very good question. I've been associate conductor of the orchestra for about 10 years now, since 1999. And I've always had an affinity with Russian Romantic composers, and especially ones that have so many feelings within the music.
Different from Italian music.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's a piece that I've done a lot with the Russian National Orchestra, and it's a piece that's very close to my heart and that's very close to their heart. So I think that the result was quite effective.
Does Mussorgsky remain popular in post-communist Russia?
It's very popular. I mean, it's music that really has no age, and he's a very instrumental figure in the Russian school of music, and one that that really paved the way for later people like Stravinsky even. So,
mm-hmm. Well, actually, you hear a little bit of that
absolutely
in that piece, Pictures at an Exhibition, which was originally a collection of solo piano pieces,
right? Which you wrote for solo piano, and then Ravel, which was a master orchestrator, wrote it for full, symphony orchestra.
Well, every one of the pieces on the CD is orchestrated by somebody else.
Right.
So Mussorgsky is one of those rare composers who didn't orchestrate his own work?
Mussorgsky was somebody of tremendous talent, but he had a little bit of a problem seeing projects to really full fruition. Mainly because he had the nasty habit of drinking a bit too much, and so he didn't orchestrate anything. He just wrote things in a piano reduction form. Also, many of his operas were not finished, and they were just done by other composers.
And the composers who orchestrated these, Ravel was a contemporary.
Right.
Rimsky-Korsakov was a contemporary.
And they were all master people who could write for symphony orchestra like no one else.
But I wonder why Ravel or Rimsky-Korsakov would have even spent the time orchestrating another composer's music when they were so important in their own right.
Right, I understand. They were master orchestrators, and I think it was such a temptation, especially for Ravel, to because the style of writing for the piano is very chordal. And so it's very good for it to be written for full symphonic orchestra.
And do you see a French feel to this as opposed to what Rimsky-Korsakov did with other pieces?
Actually, I think that Ravel, in all his masterfulness, I think wrote a very Russian-sounding score. You know, and usually he's a very he really writes very prominently for the woodwinds, and not so much here. It's a very percussive score, so I think it's really Russian sounding, actually.
You've said that the music of any composer must be inviolate, that the arrangement may need tweaking, but never the original score. Well, how does that work in something like this? What is a piece like Pictures of at an Exhibition that wasn't originally composed for an orchestra fit in with that?
Well, I actually meant that for the Night on Bear Mountain selection, which was orchestrated by the writer himself, but it's actually one of the only pieces that he actually finished for full symphonic orchestra.
Although you have Rimsky-Korsakov's arrangement.
Right, and the reason for that being that the first version was a little bit jagged, and it's a little bit harmonically, a little bit clashed, so Rimsky fashioned it all and smoothed it all out. So it's the version that has been played currently.
Now, I've always known that piece as Night on Bald Mountain. Now, is Bear Mountain the better translation?
It can be both. It can be both. Bear, I think, is more conducive to the meaning of it because, bald is not really,
And that one he actually did write as an orchestral piece. It's been described as his orchestral fantasy.
Right, right. It's his. It's one of his largest scale pieces for orchestra, and it's, of course, extremely famous.
Now, did Rimsky-Korsakov do this orchestration while Mussorgsky was still alive?
He finished it in 1886, and Mussorgsky died in 1891, so he was still alive.
So there must, either there was cooperation or there was a feeling, what are you doing to my work?
No, he was also, they were actually great friends, and there was a lot of cooperation going on between them, so I don't think there was any animosity at all.
My guest is Carlo Ponti, Jr., who is a conductor with a number of different orchestras, full-time with the San Bernardino
Symphony Orchestra,
but also doing a lot of work with the Russian National Orchestra, which he's recorded with here. Recorded with them because you wanted to do Mussorgsky and they were the natural for it?
Yes, I think it was. It is the piece, I think, that I was, that I can say was my most successful concert piece, I think. And like I said, it's so close to them, and they have such a wonderful affinity of playing it that it was just easy.
Do you think you have more of an insight because you began your career as a pianist and this started as piano pieces?
That's actually a good point. I don't think so. I mean, I've never been much of a concert pianist.
You won some competitions, including the Claude Kahn, the Radio France, the Paris Bach International Piano Competition.
Yes, but
pretty
I was
good.
But I was very young, and I don't think that the life of the concert artist would have been for me. I mean, whenever I used to play in public, I used to get a lot of negative adrenaline, and it just made me more nervous. I used to just freeze up. Whereas when I conduct in public, I get positive adrenaline, which actually helps me give the edge to the performance.
You studied piano in Paris, but you studied conducting here in the United States?
I studied conducting in the United States and also in Vienna as well.
What happened to Italy? Italy has a pretty great musical tradition. Did you want to get away from all of the hoopla in back home because your parents are really famous and you must have lived a rather... a life in which the paparazzi were constantly taking your picture?
I never pursued a musical training in Italy simply because I just never got around to it. It doesn't have to do with really my parents' heritage or anything.
What got you interested in music?
I was always musically inclined. I always loved music, and I was a pianist from a very early age. And actually, from my father's admonition, he always told me, you have to become a conductor because you will get much more women in this way. So I said, okay, all right.
That was the advice that your father gave?
He actually said it's a much more complete art form. I was only joking. But he's the one that really drove me to.
Well, you have performed in concert a fair amount of film score music.
Yes, I have.
So that's the way you connect to it?
No, I just performed a lot of film music because naturally, having the parents, having my parents who they are, it came in natural. So it was a request from many concert halls and concert promoters.
Did your parents try to discourage you from becoming an actor or producer or a director?
Never. It's something that they always encouraged me to follow my own path, and they were never bossy about which path I should take.
Yesterday we had a wonderful bass, Morris Robinson, here. Yes. He played football at the Citadel, and he said the reason he got into football was because somebody advised him that was the best way to meet women. So
there's a definite link there.
How people wound up in their careers because they were advised at some point or another that that's how they're going to meet women. I still would have thought that under the circumstances that wouldn't have been all that much a problem. But you were not tempted at all, despite all the talk over dinner about the film business?
Well, Leonard, it's a vocation to go in the film business like it is to go in the music business. So I think that I never felt that need to be in the film business. You have to feel the intrinsic need.
And you said that you didn't love playing piano, even there was negative adrenaline?
Yes, I used to, whenever you give a public concert, there's always adrenaline. It's just part of the equation. And it can either freeze you or free you. And with piano, I just felt constrained. It just wasn't working out. And it was very frustrating because I used to practice hours and hours and hours. And then come to the day of the concert, I didn't do my best.
And then you knew at a certain point that you wanted to become a conductor?
I went to Hartford, actually, at the Hart School of Music at the University of Hartford, and that's where I got my first impact with conducting, and I just loved it from the outset, and I felt a certain response from the players and from my teachers, And I knew that I was on a, you know, that I really had found my niche in that respect.
Well, you've played with orchestras all over the world. Is this typical for a conductor who's trying to establish himself?
Absolutely, absolutely.
You met your wife, who's a Hungarian, when you were conducting an orchestra in Budapest?
I was going to the Vienna School of Music, and I met her there. She was practicing, and she was playing in the student orchestra.
So you could just as easily have done a recording of Bartok's music.
Oh, there you go. Yes,
is that the next one? But
we'll see.
You've also been a teacher.
I love to work with young people. Whenever I can, I teach masterclasses in conducting. So and I work when I'm in San Bernardino prior to each concert. I also work closely with the youth orchestras in the region.
But isn't being a conductor to some degree being a teacher anyway?
Absolutely.
I mean, even if you have experienced musicians, you're saying to them, think about it this way.
Absolutely. You have to impart your own specific interpretation, and that's very much like teaching.
In putting this thing together, do you feel that the Russian musicians had a specific connection to the music that you might not have gotten if you had conducted it in San Bernardino?
Absolutely.
Or anywhere else?
They're an incredible orchestra with each player is a soloist in his own right, like I've said, I could not have thought of a better piece for my first city.
Do you, is there a negative about having such a recognizable name?
Absolutely. You get to be twice as good.
Because people
cannot see past. They're just too. They're just too inflexible, and I've run into a lot of sort of brick walls. You know, a lot of people were not flexible, were not malleable, were not responsive because of my parents being such. And I'm the only conductor to this day that I know of, who has parents which are film royalty. I mean, there's a lot of conductors whose father was a conductor or was into music. That's quite common, actually.
Well, musicians often,
right, exactly.
The children of musicians are musicians. You have a son.
Right.
You think he's likely he'll become a musician?
He's 20 months old, and he tends to...
20 months old,
he's,
okay.
But he's
I think
quite
he'll become
precocious.
A film star.
That's also possible, but I'm kind of worried because he goes in my car and he selects the hard rock station and he just like jumps up and down. So I say, oh my God, what is coming ahead?
So we'll see
in which field he goes.
You have to start somewhere, don't
right.
you? And you've included popular music as well in your concerts.
Part
because
the
it's the way to get people involved. If they hear Stevie Wonder,
right,
then
audiences.
That leads them to Mozart.
That's right. Part of our season in San Bernardino is we... devote one concert to the children of the area. So we play, lighter classics or even, Stevie Wonder, symphonic arrangements of pop songs. So it's something that I've done as well.
Well, this CD is being received quite well. And I'm assuming that means there'll be more. What would you like to do next?
Hopefully. And I must say that the main reason for the CD coming in existence was because of the gracious support of Mr. Mooley and Stacey Cohen, which gave me the funds to do the CD. So I'm very happy that it came to fruition.
You speak English exceedingly well. Did you grow up speaking English?
Actually, my first language was German, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, it was German.
Two Italian parents?
No, because I had a German nanny, mm-hmm. which actually still works for us. And she was Swiss German, but we were living in Italy at that time, so they were very anti-German for many obvious reasons. So they said, don't speak German, speak Italian. So I actually stopped speaking German. If not, I would have been completely fluent in German, which would have greatly helped in my career, actually, because my New York's resort.
Do you ever miss playing piano, or do you still play it?
I just play for my score work whenever I learn. Pieces from a score, but as far as playing solo pieces, I don't really miss it because it was a source of just frustration for me. So I just use it to just read through scores, but never to play soloistic pieces anymore.
Well, it is a way of also dissecting a piece because if you're an orchestra conductor, you can do all the parts on
Absolutely.
The piano. You
it's
can't
the most,
do it on the violin or
exactly.
the bassoon.
Exactly. So it's the most complete instrument, which is polyphonic. So.
Did you ever imagine composing?
That's just like the film.
Because so many conductors have also composed.
Yes, a lot. It definitely helps you because you know much more about the limits of each instrument and what each instrument can do. But that's something that you have to feel the need to, I think, also.
But you've said that film composers like John Williams, Henry Mancini,
Bernard Herrmann also,
that they to some degree they are the people who are composing the kind of music
right.
that a Mazurki might have composed in an earlier time.
Absolutely, they're very talented composers, and many of their pieces stand in their own right without being connected to the film stage.
If you had to name a composer you'd most like to focus on in the next album, is there someone?
We're still kind of focusing on that, and I would rather not say why, but probably my foremost my favorite one has to be Beethoven. I think he was the musical artist of the centuries.
But Modest Mussorgsky is the focus of
this
Carlo Ponti's first CD with the Russian National Orchestra, and I want to thank you so much for being
thank
with
you
us
so much
today.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.